I don't know what to do with my hands.
You can use them in any way you want. You get emotional, you know, you can use them however you want.
I'm kind of a hand guy for sure.
Okay. No need to get a little nervous on the hands.
Yeah.
But first of all, welcome to the show, Sam Catherine. You can call me Mortgage Literacy for
today. You know I will.
Well, thank you again for coming on the show. The show is The Chase and the Truth. And what I'm really interested in just getting to know people in their hearts. Most of the time right now, we meet people just on a superficial level. And then we see them on the gram. We're like, they look so cool, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's really getting to know who you are as a person, what you've been through on that journey of the chase, and then what that means for you on the success side. One of the things that I've encountered lately is that the truth and definition of success looks so different because social media has kind of put this mask on what success should look like. And really undoing what that really is and who people really are to accomplish what they've done, right? And I met you briefly. We've followed each other for a little bit, and then I was like, I think I met you like 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's about right.
At the football game, and I was like, or at the football, whatever, tournament. And I'm like, oh, hey, I gave each other a big hug, but I'm like, I don't think I've actually, have I ever met him before? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it's good to have you here. And then we talked last week, and you told me a little bit about your story. And I think everybody in the real estate industry, from my perspective, you kind of came in, and I don't even know if you know this, mm-hmm. but you kind of came in like a storm, like a gust of wind, and we're like, who's Sam Catherine? You know, I've been in it for a little bit in the real estate industry, a little bit longer, maybe a year or so longer than you have here in Austin. And everybody's like, who's this person?
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is like your social media, marketing, all the things on the real estate side, and then also fitness. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get to Austin? And we'll talk about like real estate and some of that combined.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me, giving me an opportunity to connect with you. I think that's kind of the beauty of social media is when we did meet 2 weeks ago at the football game, which I think you owe me an apology for crushing our team the way you guys did.
Well, but you didn't want to be on our team.
But I think it's the beauty of it because you kind of feel like you know somebody.
Yeah.
And so it's such it's a soft touch whenever you do meet somebody for the first time in public, but we've been following each other for a short amount of time and feel like you know somebody, which is good.
Right.
But then there's also, like you said, that superficial, you know, you're not really knowing somebody on a deeper level. And I think it's opportunities like this where we can kind of dive into the story behind the person on social media. But how I got to Austin. So I've always had a crush on Austin. It's always like the cooler older brother out of all the cities. I've lived in Dallas and San Antonio.
So Texas boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Austin was always just like this. That's where I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of set this on my whiteboard in my room 2016. You know, number one goal was move to ATX.
Wow.
I didn't know how it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I just knew that's where I wanted to be. My sister had lived here. And so I've kind of followed her in a certain way of like, I've always thought she was like so cool.
Right.
So
yeah.
She's living in Austin. It must
be where
cool.
I got to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So ended up not moving to Austin. I ended up moving out to Hawaii. Did my 5-year stint in Hawaii and finally was ready to move to Austin. And so took the long scenic route, but it was able to kind of find out who I was and what I wanted to do. And when the time was right, I pulled the trigger and moved to Austin 2 years ago next week.
2 years?
Mm-hmm.
I think the time goes by so quick.
Yeah.
Is Austin everything you've ever thought it was and more?
And more. And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
It keeps getting better.
What was the catalyst that sent you? Because you say Hawaii, and you told me this. I was like, wow, Hawaii, that's interesting. You know, most people either move out to Hawaii because they've had family or they visited one time and they're like, I have to live here. And then they become island babies for the rest of their lives. But what was the catalyst for you moving out to Hawaii?
Yeah. So it kind of goes back to, I guess we could take it back to high school, where I kind of developed this dependency on drugs and alcohol. Mm. And that just kept following me through, you know, my late teens and early 20s. And I was living in San Antonio, and I was just in this really bad place, had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. You know, I was a server, bartender, and it just kind of paid the bills, but it came with a lifestyle of, like, we get off work and we go party, and it's generally like, it's like this power hour, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And yeah. so you just, it wasn't fulfilling. It was just kind of this wake up late, go to work, and then we stay out partying, and it just kind of snowballs.
Do the cycle all over again.
Yeah. And, you know, I had dropped out of community college because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I'm paying for it myself. And I'm like, okay, let me take a step back, figure out what I want to do, and then go all in. And I really never found out what that was.
Yeah.
And so being at this rock bottom place, I called a friend's dad, and I was like, I know my buddy Nate just went off to college. Can I take his room? And it was on Maui in Hawaii.
No big deal.
No big deal. Yeah. And he was like, I'll give you 3 months and wow. you can decide if you like it and you can get your own place and stay out here. Or if you don't, you can move back to Texas. And basically what he said, and it's stuck with me for the entire time since he said it, is you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, when you're young. How old are you at this time?
30. Oh, how old am I at this time?
At this time, yeah.
24.
Okay. Yeah, so at that point, when you're so young, you're like, 23. I literally have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing was tying me to where I was. Which was also part of, like, this self-destruction. Like, I had nothing really that I was living for. I was like a zombie, you know?
Yeah, how were you raised? Was that a different environment, or were you placed in those environments, or was that never a part of your life before?
Yeah, I was raised, like, my family was amazing. So my mom and stepdad, so my parents split up when I was 2.
Mm-hmm.
My mom remarried. My stepdad, John, he is a saint. Like, when you hear your parents divorce and then, like, it can be way worse. Like, we were blessed with my stepdad, who's one of the hardest working guys that I've ever met. He's always provided for us. And, like, I couldn't have had a better situation given the situation.
Yeah.
But I always had this, like, I always had this beef with him. This, like, you're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Because I think I really missed, like, my real father.
Right.
And so I knew my real dad up until I was about 12 or 13. And then my mom cut us off. And she did so to protect us.
For, like, sure.
He was just kind of a loose cannon. We didn't really know.
When you're that young, like, you don't realize it's for protection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Angsty.
At 30, I'm like, okay, I see what you were doing.
Yeah,
thanks,
you.
Mom. Yeah. But at the time, I was like, I just really hated my mom and my stepdad, you know? And so to answer your question, like, how was I raised? I was raised in a Christian household, church on Sundays, but, you know, we're the family that's fighting on the way home from church.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's, I think, every family, if you're normal, yeah.
For sure. And so, my childhood was great, but I just was so angry at my parents that I just rebelled. I rebelled. Yeah. I didn't want to be home. I hung out with the kids, you know, who also had the same story as far as parents go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's one parent home. Maybe there's no parents home, you know. So
yeah.
we would hang out with these kids, and we started this little skate crew, and there was, like,
you were a skater boy.
Okay. I was a skater boy. And what it was this brotherhood that nobody could break. Like, we were the closest.
Family, like true family.
True family.
Yeah.
Like, we all, there was 10 of us. And people, you know, other kids would be like, hey, can we join your skate crew?
Yeah.
And, like,
no. You can't sit with us.
That's kind of what it was like.
Really?
Yeah. One-way skate crew. I mean, we were brothers.
Yeah.
We were brothers. We got in a lot of trouble.
I bet. Well, then that's hard because you build, and I think, I mean, that's why people love the military or love athletics, right? Because you create a family. If you didn't have a family, I mean, that's everything that you've got. So I'm sure that was hard for you to change. If you're raised with your parents, but then now you enter this, like, skater boy brotherhood, like, mm-hmm. it's, that would be a really hard dialogue to battle in your head, to like draw a line in the concrete and move to Hawaii. Like,
yeah,
what was the, was there like a rock bottom at that point where you're like, I cannot keep doing what I'm doing? Or mm-hmm. what was the catalyst that allowed you to say yes to Hawaii?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think through that, that brotherhood of 10 guys, only three of us have made it out to like do something wow. with our lives.
Wow. That gives me chills.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one of them is, one of them passed away. One of them, I mean,
wow.
addicted to drugs, and won't go into too many details, but yeah. like three of us to do something with our lives. It was hard. So it was just like each one getting picked off. And
yeah.
so it was like, do I want my life to end up like this? And as much as I love that, those guys, and I still do, it was like, I mean,
yeah.
the writing's on the wall.
Right.
You gotta get out of this. And so that's when I moved to San Antonio. And you can't really run away from your problems, mm. you know?
Yeah.
They'll follow you. And so I had picked up some bad habits over the course of sophomore year in high school up until at this point. I'd been graduated for about a year. And then that was kind of like, those habits just kept getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
The drugs, the alcohol. And it was just this rock bottom of feeling so empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my friend's dad and was like, I've got to get out of this situation.
Yeah.
You know, but seeing how seven of the 10 of us were ending up, I just wanted better for myself.
Yeah. It was almost like the fear of that happening was a motivator
mm-hmm.
to an extent. There's a book called The Slight Edge. I think the author is Joe Osteen, mm-hmm. not the pastor, Joe Osteen, an author, but just talking about little decisions, slight edge decisions, and that will totally change the trajectory of your life. And like you said, these slight edge decisions were putting you on a different path. And for you to have the strength, even being in rock bottom, is huge to make even that one decision. And then you moved out to Hawaii. Were those 5 years like rainbows mm-hmm. and sunshines? I mean, that sounds like the dream. I don't know if I would move back.
Yeah. Yeah, rainbows and sunshines for sure.
Okay.
What the state is known about,
yeah.
is known for. But for me personally, no.
Wow.
And what followed me to San Antonio followed me to Hawaii. And it was just this
Amazing.
Continual, like, I'm trying to run from my problems.
Mm-hmm.
Maui is such a special place to me because it is, it's so beautiful. It's a slower pace. Like, it's hard to have a bad day. Now, I definitely managed to find those bad days, but it really forces you to look inside and say, okay, so I've moved. This is my third city now, and I've got the mm. same problems.
Like, what's the real problem?
Environment's not the issue.
Yeah.
Like, I'm clearly the issue. And so, you know, I got into a relationship essentially right when I moved out there, and it ended up being a very toxic relationship.
Mm.
And that's kind of like my story too, is I'm, you know, currently reading a book called Fathered by God.
Mm.
And it talks about basically these different stages of becoming a man. And he refers to another book called Wild at Heart. I don't know if you've ever read it.
That's actually my number, that one. And then there's a female written book called Captivating, by written by the wife. But
okay.
yes,
yeah.
I read that book years ago to understand men.
Yeah, and yeah. It's a great one.
Yeah.
It's a great one. So listening to the audio book last night, and he mm-hmm. refers back to this book called Wild at Heart, which I read, a mentor gave it to me on Maui. And it talks about finding your strength in a woman
mm-hmm.
rather than presenting your strength mm-hmm. to a woman. And like, the wrong way to go about it is trying to find your strength in a woman. And so that's what I was doing.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. And it was up until like my previous relationship where I was like, ooh, I've done that in every single one of my relationships.
Wow.
Well, when these relationships would go south, I would self-medicate with drugs and alcohol. And it's just this cycle
mm-hmm.
for me. And so the first 2 years on Maui were very difficult because I just kept trying to find my self-worth and my strength in these
yeah.
relationships, and like kind of distracted, and opportunity would come, but I would
yeah.
kind of squander it.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting worse for me. And I'm living in paradise. Like
yeah.
I am living in one of the most beautiful places
That's crazy.
On planet Earth. And yeah. it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And mind you, the whole time, like, you know, I have my relationship with God, I'm going to church, but I'm kind of living these two
double lives. Yeah.
And so my church friends were kind of concerned about my party lifestyle. And my party friends were kind of like, aren't you like a church guy?
Yeah.
And it was like this weird, like tug of war. And it was really like expressing itself of what was kind of going on internally in a way. But Hawaii got the worst of my 10 years of addiction.
Wow.
It really manifested right there.
Yeah.
On this island.
You know, that's amazing that you said that you were still going to church while you're there, living a, call it a hypocritical life. But I mean, if you want, but I feel like that's why we go to church, right? To figure out everything that's going on inside. It's almost like a hospital for our heart, right? But also knowing that those foundations were instilled in you when you were younger. And even though they were just seeds, I always say, because I too have my same story, toxic relationship as well. And I think prior to that, I was like, yeah, I believe in God. Like, who doesn't, right? You have to have hope in something. It might not be Jesus. It could be whatever. But I mean, I believed in God, and you probably would say the same. If I asked you when you were hanging out with your 10 friends, or even when you first got to Hawaii, you'd probably say, yeah, I believe in God, you know? But to have the action, because all those little sermons that you probably listened to along the way were just probably in the back of your mind, keeping you not falling off totally on the off the bandwagon, right? That's amazing that you still continue to do that.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, like, I will always be thankful for my parents kind of introducing me to God, to giving that relationship, you know? And as hard as I tried to run away from it, like, once you get a taste of it, you can't get rid of it, you know? And I tried. Like, I was so angry at God, at my parents, at the church. Get me away from that. Like, what's the farthest I can go away from this? And for me, it was just like these self-destructive, rock bottom, you know, pity parties.
ongoing.
10 years of pity parties.
Never-ending pity party. Yeah, that is so true. You're like, I'm going to try everything else to fulfill that. I don't need this. But also, like, that opportunity for a relationship with God is there, but you have to choose to have it, right? And so it's, I think when I first talked to you when we were at the field day event and you briefly mentioned just like a taste of your story, I was like, dang, like, you are a person that's been through it, still actively in the grind of like pursuing that change in a person. And that doesn't happen, like, you can't just say like, oh yeah, I'm successful and like I believe in God and we're great and he answers all my prayers, and you know, because that is the furthest thing from the truth. But recognizing that in you, when I met you and got to talk to you, I'm like, you have such a story that's worth sharing, because I guarantee that whoever's listening, there's going to be somebody out there that probably is doing the same thing, running so hard away from God and everything else that they think will fulfill them. And I think your message is like, it's not there.
Yeah. I've tried to fill that hole with everything except for God. And God, my relationship with God is the only thing that's ever been consistent in my life. You know? And no matter how far I run or how hard I try to be unlovable or, you know, cut people off and not let people in, like, I always turn right. Like, on that next day when I'm hungover or, like, just after a bender, like, I'm cracking my Bible open or, like, praying or, like, you know,
help me here. Yeah.
Or turning on my Maverick City music playlist or just, like, in the worst condition physically and just crave, that's what I'm craving. It's like a cry to God, like, hear me, like, this is not what I want.
And I think people misunderstand a relationship with God, because a relationship with God is like a relationship with a human, right? Like, some days you're mad at the person, right? I mean, I don't have a significant other, but if I did, I imagine, like, if they left, I don't know, something out on, I'd be like, really, again, you know? Like, you're gonna have these ongoing conversations where sometimes it's great with God because your life is great, but then sometimes you're like, help me here, I need you today. And I think that that's a daily grind for everyone. Even if you are on the up and up, call it, you still have that desire to have those conversations with God.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to Hawaii, you went down this path, and now you're like, I'm coming to Austin. Like, what was the trigger from there? Were you like, this is just following me everywhere?
Yeah.
And did you make, I always say, because we draw a line in the sand, and you can always just wipe that.
Mm-hmm.
But drawing a line in the concrete and choosing to totally make a change.
Yeah.
What was that for you to move to Austin? What's it been like since then?
Yeah, the line in the concrete for me was COVID hit. Everything shut down.
Yeah.
I feel like it was, I keep hearing people's experiences during COVID, and I'm like, mine was the complete opposite. You know, like people are like, yeah, it was so fun, or like, you know, we had, you know, parties, or we went here to the lake house. Like, I keep hearing these and I'm like, ooh, like I was doing COVID wrong. Like, I was doing COVID very wrong. And, you know, for the first time in my life, I was making, you know, a six-figure salary, personal training. We've got like, you know, celebrities and movie stars. Like, my life was a dream.
Wow.
It had finally come true for me. Like,
what? In Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so my clients were like, we've had Barack Obama in the gym, Jeff Bezos, Adam Sandler, like,
wow.
It was like a movie. Like, I'm not even kidding. I was like, how did I get here? You know, and I'm the manager of this gym. It shuts down, COVID hits.
Wow.
You know, and I'm making great money, but I've got a drug addiction and an alcohol problem, but now I don't have to go into work.
Mm.
Let's party.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. So my friends stopped hanging out with me, and I'm just doing this alone. And it got so bad. You know, I got into some very heavy drugs to the point where I didn't care if I died, you know,
wow.
Like I was just like, let's send it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start getting needles involved and just going, you don't care. You're just trying to get as high as possible. And, it was a really dark place, and I had just this.
When you would come off of a high, what were you feeling at that point? Or you never did?
Essentially, it was like 3 months of never.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it started from the weekends to a couple days during the week to every day. And I just kind of, sometimes I would know I'm doing too much and this could kill me, and I wouldn't care. You know?
It was like almost that, like that was a thrill.
For sure.
Wow.
Let's see if we make it out of this one,
mm.
You know? And it just got to the point where I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And so I checked myself into rehab, flew to California during COVID, did a 45-day inpatient program, which this is the third time in rehab since 15. You know, I went twice in high school. And so it was finally this point where I was like, I have to choose if this is how my life is going to go, you know?
Yeah.
Or, because I've always had this drive. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of been pointed in the wrong direction. I've never had something where I'm like, where it's enough for me to give up everything else, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it comes from the childhood trauma, and then high school was just terrible for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible 4 years. And it was all just stacking up to this one pivotal moment, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting too, because when I got out of rehab, I went right back to it. I did not stay
this
clean.
This third time?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went right back to exactly what I was doing.
So even then, that wasn't the moment for you? Wow.
It was probably 2 months after that.
That's so interesting.
Where I sat on the beach in Kihei watching a sunset, and I just prayed. I was like, I just asked God to intervene into this drug addiction. And it's been 4 years since I've touched needles. And it was the turning point, sitting on that beach on this little berm, just solo.
Would you say, sorry, I get emotional because I'm so happy that you're here.
Yeah.
That could have gone in a totally different direction. And I don't know if you realize how many people that you've impacted that don't know your story, but just because you're a good person and you say hi to them at the run club, you know?
Yeah.
And to think that like that joy would not be here if you didn't make that decision on the beach. Had you ever, Had you ever asked God to intervene before, or were you just kind of like, I'm good? Was there ever that moment of like, God, I need you now? Or because you had been going to church.
Mm-hmm. I would say after every single time. And it's interesting because if you're not looking for the way out that God gives you, you might not see it.
Mm. Oh, that's so good. That should be a mic drop.
Can we drop these?
Yeah, can we drop these?
You might not see it. And as I kind of get older and I guess more wiser into those situations, like he's always given me a way out. Mm. It's just this pause. It can be, you know, you're about to go out with your friends and somebody texts you like, hey, do you want to do this instead? You know what I mean? I'm giving a very broad example, but it's like this way out to avoid what you're about to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think I was so blinded by my addiction. Like I was, you know, very manipulative in my friendships and relationships and work. And like, it was just this addiction that was driving everything that I did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say when I got back, I guess in rehab, I started running. And my knees hurt so bad. And I was literally like, you know, I weigh 190 now. I was like 218.
Oh, wow. You're like, a different person.
My knees were they were in so much pain.
Yeah, that impact.
literally. And I would run like half a mile from my house and walk back.
Wow.
And then it got to a mile and then I would walk back. And I found this thing. It was very hard for me. Like running was very difficult and challenging. But it, like I would wake up hungover and I couldn't have the two. So then I would maybe go like 3 days without drugs and alcohol, get a good run in. And then that became like 5 days and then it would become like 2 weeks. Sitting on that beach, I then went like 8 months without alcohol, drugs. You know, I started dating this girl, it was a healthy relationship. And throughout that time, like running really I started meeting people on Maui that I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were a runner. Like we've been friends for 3 years.
Wow.
You know, and started getting introduced to this community of people who run and signed up for a 5K and then a 10K and then did a trail race. And so I really got hooked on this running thing because it made me feel good. I'm starting to lose
weight.
Truly
a runner's high, right?
literally. And I started, you know, losing a little bit of weight and getting better in shape, and it's helping my personal training business. And, you know, I found Nick Bear's videos on YouTube, which if you don't know who he is, he basically has pioneered this hybrid athlete. Like, okay, he can stay jacked and run a marathon.
Right.
Like there's something here because, you know.
Before that, you had to have a marathon body if you wanted.
Or a bodybuilder. You know, it's either you pick one for sure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, finding his videos, I'm like, okay, if he can do it, I can do it. And then I signed up for a half Ironman. And in that training for a half Ironman, I really could not like drink and party the way that I was training 12 different sessions a week, you know, between swim, bike, and run. And I was like, there was a point in time where I'm like, I haven't gone out to the Triangle. So the Triangle is the place in Kihei where we would go party. I haven't gone to the Triangle in a few weeks. Like, this is weird. This is uncharted territory for me. And I think just from that point, like...
You created some momentum in your life.
It created some momentum in my life for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
In this direction that I wanted. I was becoming who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Or I was becoming who I said I was. You know, this double life was kind of getting closer together.
Right.
You know? It's almost becoming one.
Of who you actually wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What people sort of believed you to be.
Yeah. I mean, as a personal trainer, like they knew. Yeah. They knew who my clients were. I'm always posting on IG about how healthy I am and go for a run and like, you know, work out. It's good for you. But then I'm trashing myself on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't just a moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a gradual, like you said yesterday, like in the trenches, and that's where you can find me today. Like, you know, I'm on this no drinking thing right now, but I don't know if I'll have another sip of alcohol in a couple months. Like this is uncharted territory for me, you know?
I think it's important because I asked, like, what was that, you know, pivotal moment? What was that one thought? And every time I've asked that question, there's never really like one defining moment. Very rarely is it. I mean, you can go back and you can think to yourself, like, yeah, I remember praying this, I remember, but you, the way that the momentum shifts is in those daily actions. And so I think for everybody listening, if there's any hope to give them, it's not going to change in one day.
Not
the
at
momentum
all.
Doesn't shift in one day.
Mm-mm.
In your life.
No, and that was something that I really struggled with. It was like hearing people's stories and they're like, on that day, that was it for me.
That is when I became great.
Yeah, whether it's their fitness journey or their relationship with God, mm-hmm. or like, it's very hard for me to relate to those people. And like, that was a struggle for me because I'm like, why am I not having that?
Right, what's wrong with me that I can't have that?
Yeah, when is my day coming? And I'm like, I've looked back over the past 4 years and I'm like, it's every single day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether that day is a win or a loss for me, like it's this, when you look at it very closely, it's kind of like this up and down. But then when you zoom out, like it's trending up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think for people listening, like the hope is just in those daily actions.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have it all figured out.
Yeah.
You don't have to have it all figured out.
So I guess for you, that daily action was really running. Running is a big community here. I can say I've never had this runner's high, but I hear people like you talk about it. I'm like, that's interesting. Maybe one day, I don't know. We'll start with 3 miles. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
See where that leads.
Soho Run Club next Thursday.
Yeah, which I am, you know, it's amazing, Sam, because just to hear your story and then see you in the real estate industry and you just redefining and rewiring your brain to be everything that God created you to be, not the programming that was in your brain the last 10 years. And even to run the, so I was like, you started that, you know, like for God to use your leadership skills. 'Cause it's not just about running, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's you truly being able to like be there and high five people. And most of those people don't know your story, but the fact that you're like sharing joy with them every time you get together on Thursday and you run, mm-hmm. right? Like that is impacting people on the smallest scale, you know, or even when I met you for the first time, like, oh, he knows me, mm-hmm. you know, like, And that goes for everybody that you don't know them and they're like, wow, they're so nice, mm-hmm. right? Or you've seen them for a long time on social media, you're like, oh, they really are that nice, you know?
Yeah.
But wow, what an amazing story for you. And the story is still being written.
Mm-hmm.
I guess another question for me, for you, is what are some things if somebody is like in that desperate need of hope?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like, I always say an actionable step, but like, is there a book that you would recommend that you like go back to, or is there an action that you do every day that helps you stay on the right path? Like, is there a little nugget that you would give someone that's looking for that piece of hope?
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I needed hope the most, what I thought I didn't have was community. And when you feel alone, you feel isolated, nobody knows what I'm going through and they can't relate to me.
Mm.
And just knowing like there are people that are going through or have gone through like what you're going through, the more that I share my story, the more that I meet people that are like, I went through that same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so just knowing, one, you're not alone, but two, like don't isolate yourself. Get into community.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is, for me, that's like the run community. I guess for my golden nugget, like I turn on worship music, even it doesn't matter what it is. Like mm-hmm. I just have a few songs that I go to that really like bring me back and just, you know, it's kind of how I hang out with God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to answer your question, like you're not alone. Don't isolate yourself and like get into community. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's running, working out, different sort of clubs. It doesn't have to be fitness related, but just get around people, you know?
Because
when I was in the deepest place of my addiction, nobody knew it.
Mm.
Nobody at work knew it. None of my friends knew it.
Wow.
I was just operating solo. And I was like, nobody can ever find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, my biggest secret.
I'm
yeah.
alone in this.
Yeah.
Nobody can relate to me on this.
That's what Satan wants you to think.
Mm-hmm.
1,000%. Get you in a place where you're totally isolated, where nobody could understand this and nobody can know your big secret. And God's like, I already know this big secret yeah. and I'm the only one that cares. Like, it should only matter to me, mm-hmm. you know? And you're already forgiven.
Yeah.
But, wow. I'm like so blown away by your story, but because it's still being written,
for sure.
Now you're like on the real estate side. So what was that transition for you from like getting here, boots on the ground in Austin, and then now you're, because you took real estate by storm. Everybody was like, "Who is Sam McCatherine?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Yeah.
You're just all over everybody's social media pages.
Yeah. I think. Real estate's been the best thing to happen to me besides running.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the first thing where I find it extremely challenging, and therefore, like, I want to keep going. Personal training got kind of easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
The transition from personal training to real estate was the company that I worked for. You know, my clients were basically, they're very well off, but they're investing their money at this point in their lives into real estate. You know what I mean? So I would have an hour with these clients, and they would tell me like what they're doing, whether it's, you know, multifamily, residential, yeah. commercial, whatever it is. Like, I had a lot of clients who were involved in real estate, and I was like, that's it.
That's my ticket.
And so, you know, I knew I wanted to come back to Austin. And by the way, when I would go on vacation from Maui, I would come to Austin.
Wow.
Yeah. My best friend from like third grade
yeah.
has lived here for, I think it's going on 5 years now. I would come here and visit, and I'm like, okay, this should be backwards. Like,
yes.
I should be living here.
We're going to.
And vacationing
in
on Maui.
Yeah.
Right. And so I finally made that transition. You know, I shipped my car to LA, drove it to Austin, went through Sedona, just a solo road trip. Like,
yeah.
it was amazing. Finally got here, and I'm like, this is the best city on earth.
Oh, 2016, you wrote it down.
I wrote it down.
That's amazing.
And what happened between 2016 and 2 years ago was wild, but
yeah.
I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it for a second. And so I moved here, got my license, and the market just completely went.
Shifted.
It completely, like, brakes slammed. You know, it shifted, but it helps me out because the team that I'm on now with, you know, Tim and Mike, they are amazing, but I think they would have been too busy to even meet with me
mm-hmm.
as a new agent. I've been in the game for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, take me on.
You yeah.
know what I mean? Like, things were probably, they were crushing it, too
yeah.
busy, right? So it helped me out in the sense of, like, they can take a little bit of a breather, take mm-hmm. my coffee date, if you will.
Yeah.
And let's just chat and see if it would be a good fit. And so they, you know, gave me a spot on the team, and I've been with them for a little bit over a year. And I mean, without those two guys, I don't know if I
yeah.
can handle real estate. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That first year is so, it's
Art.
So important
mm-hmm.
for a new agent. And these guys are just like, you have what it takes.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody to believe in your greatness. It's always been there, but
mm-hmm.
having good mentors, I think, is a big thing. You know, when you're going through that 10-year season of your life, like, not having somebody speaking life into you and not, you know, believing in that seed of greatness, that definitely has a lot to do with it. And then you shift to real estate industry, and I know Mike personally and his girlfriend Marissa, and they are phenomenal people,
mm-hmm.
but I can only imagine what they would be like as mentors in this industry. But I was right there with you. We're like, yeah, we're this is easy peasy, like, this industry is so cool and awesome, and then hit the brakes. And I would say Austin real estate is just so reactive versus like responsive. So anytime there's a change in rates,
mm-hmm.
you definitely feel it for
yeah.
sure. But
yeah. Austin
yeah.
pauses at that 7%. You know what I mean?
yeah.
Austin gets real quiet.
Yeah.
yeah. Exactly. It's understandable, but it's one of those things, like, in 10 years, I'm going to be like, I started at that point and I'm glad I did,
mm-hmm.
Because it's really allowed me to kind of sharpen my skills. And
yeah.
I feel like the boys have brought me up to speed in the past year much quicker than I would have just trying to do it on my own.
For sure.
But just having, like, I know I'm so, I knew I was so new and there's so mm-hmm. much to learn. Like, I need to be around people who are absolute winners. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's another thing that has helped me with my drinking and drug addiction. Like, the run clubs, the people that I see on Instagram posting on their stories that they're going for runs or working out or starting a business or like mm-hmm. doing things. Mm-hmm. It's inspiring. Or being around a team of winners where, like, I want to be the dumbest in the room.
Right.
You know, I want to learn. I want to ask the stupid questions. And it's all like this energy that's here in Austin. It continually helps me want to be a better man, you know, real estate advisor, son, brother, the things that I am right now in this current mm-hmm. state in my life. Like, Austin has that, it's got the juice.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
It really does, but it's also just another city. I mean, it's a very special city when it comes to that, because you can feel that, I call it magic, you mm-hmm. know, whenever you're all getting together, and it could be any fitness or real estate event or whatever, but it's like everybody is chasing opportunity here. Mm-hmm. But there's also a fair share of drug, sex, and rock and roll, you know, mm-hmm. in this city. So you could have very easily went that route too. But the fact that you made a decision and you continue to dig deep mm-hmm. every day, like, that is so hard. Harder yeah. than, and I'm sure there's still days where you probably cry. Like, I, and just being in business for yourself, like, there are moments where, like, what the heck am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, am I supposed to be here? And then having the right people speak into your life saying, like, thank God you made that decision to totally change your life, Sam, because you are impacting and will continue to impact so many people. Whether it comes to fitness, just somebody that you meet at the coffee shop, your future relationships, and real estate, you know, so much going on for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, like, when I moved here, you've got the East Side, you've got West 6. Like, it wasn't just, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and be like, it was perfect when I moved here.
Yeah.
Like, you can fall into your old ways very quickly, especially in a city with such a robust nightlife. Like, it is fun to go out. Mm-hmm. It is fun to be around your friends. You're on West, you're on the East Side. Like, I don't know, there's a little bit of danger to it mm-hmm. in a sense. Like, you kind of just, you're out on the town, you
yeah.
know, it's
yeah.
fun, it's unknown, it's an adventure. But, you know, I've really had to dial, like, you know, I'm on this no drinking thing for now, mm-hmm. but being able to go out and figure out who I am in these sober situations of, like, and again, like, when we started this, like, what do I do with my hands? Like, yeah. It's kind of like that when you go out, and it's been really fun for me.
Yeah, you're like holding water. That's literally me all the time.
Or, like, going on dates, cheers. You're like, I don't, like, there's no liquid courage there. You're really yeah. figuring out somebody. Because if I'm not drinking on the date, generally, like, she's yeah. like, oh, yeah, I'll get some water, too. And you're, like, figuring out who these people are on such a raw level. Mm-hmm. It's been nice. It's been
yeah.
it's been fun. Because then I'm just my goofy self, and I'm like, I don't know. Did I scare her off?
Right. I don't know.
I don't really care.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is what you get, rather than this kind of, like, this false liquid courage. Mm-hmm. I was always the life of the party, but now I'm like, now I'm waking up at 6 a.m. to go run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and then becoming that person is going to attract that same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you want. You don't want the person in your old lifestyle.
Yeah. Which, you know, I would say my last few relationships have been founded on, like, we're going out, we're drinking. And so it's, for the first time in my life, I'm taking a step back from that and really yeah. focusing on becoming the right person.
Yeah.
And then
for that future person.
Exactly.
Amen to that, aren't we
exactly.
all?
For the first time in my life.
For the first time in your life.
Yeah.
What has that been like then for dating, just in general, and like taking that step back for you mm-hmm. and now seeing things through a different lens? Are you like, wow, I'm so glad these relationships didn't work out? Do you feel like there's still work to be done on yourself?
For sure. And I don't think that'll ever stop. Mm. I think there's different versions of it, different versions of yourself that need
refining.
You know, when I took on the 90 days no drinking, I didn't really know what it was going to bring.
What was the decision behind that? You just
there was one Cowboys game, Cowboys versus Eagles. Shout out Cowboys. and we just, I was so hungover the next day that I was like, I'm not doing this again. This is not what we're doing, you know? So I was like, 90 days no drinking, sign up for the marathon, run the marathon.
That's like, right. You did the marathon too.
Yeah. So that was kind of the catalyst behind that. It's basically brought out, like, now I realize I don't want to be in a relationship right now.
Mm.
And I had just, me and my ex-girlfriend, we broke up in October. And I think like a couple months had passed and I'm ready to go on a few more dates. Mm-hmm. And you know, drinking was involved. And so it was just like, I don't know. I think I was very clouded judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And now up until like literally 2 weeks ago, I'm like, I actually don't want to be in a relationship right now because I'm working on myself.
Yeah. That is such a healthy space to be in. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize, especially because you're 30, right? I don't think people realize that it's okay to say that to yourself. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you're like, wait a minute, I'm not there yet where I think I need to be for the future person that I find, versus like just dating for fulfillment, which means mm-hmm. like you're over the dating for fulfillment.
Yeah. It was like I said earlier, of trying to find my value.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of like this feeling of validation that a girl wants to go on a date with me.
Right.
Right. And I will say it's hard at being 30 years old and probably 75% of your friends are either in relationships or married.
I feel the same way.
It's difficult. It's very hard. And it crosses my mind every mm-hmm. single day. Like, even in conversations with meeting new people, like, ooh, could this be the one? Like, I kind of want to entertain this idea. But I think it's going to happen. And I hate to say it. I'm going to say it. Like, when you know, I feel like you're going to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what they all say. I don't know.
I didn't want to say it, but that's kind of what I'm leaning on right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I would be doing a disservice entering in a relationship.
Yeah. I think that, you know, what I go back to, because dating, I'm 34. And so, definitely seeing the friends or the milestones in life change, where it was like younger, it was like quinceañeras, you know, and then it was like celebrating everybody's 21st birthday and then graduations, right? And then now it's like weddings. For a while, it was like a wedding all the time. And now it's like baby showers every, you know, all the mm-hmm. time. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to get caught up in like in your timeline being late. But the whole, if you know, you know, like, or you'll know when you see that person or whatever, like, I think that that's going to come from refining. And this is just me speculation because I'm not married.
Mm-hmm.
But when you fully are finished working, not finished, but when you've like done the work on yourself and you have the true joy of Jesus in your heart, I think that you'll recognize that joy in someone else. And that is what that piece is going to feel like. That's just my best guess,
mm-hmm.
you know? So the whole, like, and I get, it's so hard to like go so to events hard. And you're like, maybe it's that person,
yeah.
you know? Like, oh, they're cute. Like maybe it's them, you know? I totally get it. But then also just knowing like, hey, I need to see and feel like the peace and the joy of God. And if not, then they're not the ones.
Yeah.
Because you've worked so hard on yourself and still do.
Yeah. You know? And I think it goes back to wild at heart, like presenting your strength to a woman.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so for me, I think I'm in the phase of building that strength.
Mm.
Like I'm figuring out what that is for me.
Yeah.
And I think growing up with, not knowing my real dad caused a ton of damage
mm-hmm.
in my life. And I think that's the case with a lot of other.
Yeah.
With a lot of other men, like mm-hmm. that father role is so important. And so really focusing on making the right decision, because I don't want my kids to grow up that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what I want. Mm-hmm. I want to be a father. I want to be someone that my father wasn't for me.
Right.
You know?
Totally breaking the chains.
Yeah.
But that book, Wild at Heart, if you are a guy out there and hasn't read it yet, absolutely read it. If you're a girl and you want to understand men, read that book. It's so good. Girls, captivating. It's an amazing book, just of knowing your worth and your value. And then also refining yourself to be a wife too. So I'm so excited, Sam. Thank you so much for being here today and just sharing your heart and your story. I think if one person is impacted by this, it's so worth it. But like you physically just being here today, like, I'm so thankful for you. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited of what you're going to accomplish, like, in a year, 2 years. And I'm just so happy to know you.
Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Let's go.